prefer a shrimp because, you know, I don't feel comfortable of killing the whole shira shrimp in 1 hour and a half, which means a regular hat. So now I know that everybody is familiar with my article about Azazel. Are you? No. I wanted to make a Xerox copy for you for my article on Azazel, but somehow in the Yeshiva College the Xerox machine was broken. When I went to production, the Xerox machine was broken in production. Would you believe it? The two Xerox machines, they tell me something with the cold. So I told them maybe you should give them an Advil or something like this. But anyhow, I bli neder. Maybe I don't know. Anyhow, be it as may, my article was published in ZAW, Zeitschrift for Alte Testamentische Wissenschaft, that comes in Germany from all the places. And I want to share with you Azazel for maybe 20, 25 minutes, and then go very, very fast, and because I have beautiful things of Hapax Legomenon, and to try to finish. I think I gave you only 10, but I have many more. But I want to discuss with you Azazel exactly as I discussed with you Mitzrayim, Yore Matzor. You could see how important is the middle. Now, in the business of Yore Matzor, we discussed the historicity. And we said that if Yore Matzor is this very famous Matzor, and you have even the map there, which, by the way, the article was published in JNES, Journal of Near Eastern Studies, and University of Chicago Oriental Institute. They really grabbed this article for me and even gave the map of Jacobson and Lloyd there, because this was their permission, and you see there. So if we write that Yore Matzor is in the north, so most probably Sennacherib invade Israel twice, I mean Judah twice, unless it's a telescope, but be it as it may, 694 and not the first invasion of Sennacherib at 701. So, sure.
How do you spell it in Hebrew?
Is that what it is? Mem Tzadik Vavresh.
With the Tzadik? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, Mem Tzadik Vavresh. By the way, I'm sorry to tell you that there's no Hebrew in this article, because at that time JNES did not have the money to put the Hebrew character, so I had to transliterate, and I hate transliteration. When I look in the article, it's not Hebrew there, I hate the transliteration, it looks like Chinese. But it's really Hebrew. You should take Aleph, Nun, Yud, and Nikaf, yes. This is the characteristic, this is what you call the international way of a year. But the German had more money, and I couldn't make a Xerox copy, and nothing, everything was broken there. But I will give the article to Rabbi Shammah, and maybe he will mail it to you, I don't know. But anyhow, you know that Azazel is attested, it's what you call Hapax Legomenon, really an absolute Hapax Legomenon, because it is attested three times in the very famous in Vayikra. On the Day of Atonement and the ritual of the purification in Leviticus 16, two scapegoats were dispatched. The first was sacrificed for the Lord, the second sent free, the verb shalach. Now, pay attention. 100%, almost 100%, the verb shalach in Hebrew, in the P-I-L, shillach, means to send free. Shalach in the kal means to send in order to come back. It works very, very nicely in Noah. Works very nice. And also, that's why shalach et ami, they shalach l'amcha al pnei amayim, and there was a divorce, shiluchin. So it says shalach, very important in the P.I.L., in the Azazel, to Azazel, to the open country, bearing all the sins of the people. Now we all know about it. While it seems clear that the nouns hamidbara, to open country, steep, and eretz gzera, you see shalach l'azazel, hamidbara el eretz gzera. We will discuss it in a minute. You see, the Eretz Gzera is also Hapax. You see what we will do it within a minute in light of Akkadian text. El Eretz Gzera, a cut-off land from human habitation, modifies Azazel. I mean, Hamidbara, Eretz Gzera, modifies Azazel. And you know that Azazel is spelled Ayin Zayin, Aleph Zayin Lamed. The identification as well as the etymological origin of Azazel has been subject to much debate from the post-biblical period on. Jewish and non-Jewish scholars alike, from the medieval period until the modern times, argue the term being unable to form a unified opinion as to the precise mythological nature and the philological affinities of the term that the term exhibits, Azazel. Thus, while the new JPS translation transliterates the vocable, transliterate Azazel, they don't translate it, the NEB is the New English Bible, which Rabbi Sassoon, Chacham Sassoon, likes very much, the NEB, the New English Bible, renders the nouns as precipice. New English Bible renders the noun as precipice. Interesting, isn't that? Similarly, the two most recent philological treatments differ with regard to the etymological origin of the word. G.R. Driver, very famous British scholar from Oxford, renders it as rugged rocks, precipice. Why? Because Driver himself was responsible for the NEB. It's the son, not the father. Great two generation of scholars. Renders it rugged rocks, a name of a place where the goat was led. On the other hand, Baruch Levin from NYU, though following Ronald DeVoe, Ronald DeVoe was Yimach Shemo V'dach Zichro, yeah, anti-Shemi, but a Choker Gadol was a great scholar, French, Father DeVoe, wrote a very famous book on the history of ancient Israel and whatnot. Ronald DeVoe thesis that Azazel is a supernatural being connected with demons. He nevertheless admits that the interpretation of the noun is unknown. He thinks that it's a demon, but unknown. While the paper here proposed will attempt to deal with Azazel primarily from the philological point of view, while not excluding the cultural, mythological, and ritualistic material involved, text involved. To this end, the solution will be arrived only after an inductive studies, gathering the accumulative evidence of the contextually relevant material. Inductive studies is very, very important. You cannot study a material and take it from some. You have to study the material in its own milieu. If you do the matzor business, you have to do it with Sanaki Watsan Sheriv Asar, Ani Karti Vishatiti Maimzari. Are you doing with Azazel? You have to study with on its in its context. While it was the biblical custom to sending the scapegoat free to open country to cut off land, Hamidbara Erez Gzera, in the Second Temple, for reason unknown, some details of the ritualistic procedure concerning the scapegoats were altered. In Mishnah Yoma, of course, as you know, מיקירי ירושלים היום לבין מותו עד סוכה הראשונה, עשר סוכות מירושלים ועד סוק, מה היה עושה החולק לשון שזהורית, חציו כושר בסלע, חציו כשר בין שתי קרנב, ודחפו לאחוריו, הוא מתגלגל ויורד, והוא היה מגיע לחצי הער, עד שנעשה איברים איברים. Meaningly, בתקופת המשנה, in the Mishnaic period, in the biblical period, the איש עיתי, which is also apex legomenon, which everybody translates men for all season, yes, men for all season, איש עיתי, מהמילה עת, but we don't know the, what is this, והיה לוקח אותו אל המדברה, אל ארץ גזרה, in the Mishnah it was changed. So I was asking, it was changed. The custom was changed, what? In a minute. לחכה. נגמור, ואז נשאר. The word, there's no idea of precipice in the biblical text. It says clearly, Azazel, המדברה, ארץ גזרה. In a minute. ארץ גזרה is not a precipice. מדבר is not a precipice. And Azazel is not a precipice. In a minute. There were 10. Okay, I don't have to translate for you. Thus the biblical account states that the goat was set to roam about free in the steppe, eventually to find a natural death. In the biblical. And we don't know what the Ish Iti did with the Azazel, with the scapegoat, with the Sahir. We don't know. Ish Amidbara, did he kill it? We don't know. במדבר, השעיר יכול לחיות במדבר ולחזות לירושלים. Easily. זה מדבר חודדה. We any minute will see everything. Thus, the biblical account states that the goat was set to roam around free and the steep. כך אני מבין את זה. Eventually, to find its natural death. We have no idea. But in the Mishnah, story differs. He is A, be brought to the top of the cliff, be tied, be pushed from the cliff until dismembered. It is clear that the Mishnaic methodological adaptation of killing the animal was done to make sure and to prevent his return alive and hence bringing the iniquities back to the city. Baruch. The Mishnaic ritualistic procedure, i.e. pushing the goat from the tzuk, cliff, led the rabbis of the Talmud explain the term Azazel as a rough, difficult place. basing it on the Midrashic interpretation of Eretz Gzera, Yoma 67-2, Tanur Rabbanan Azazel Shaya Az Vekashe. יכול ביישוב תלמוד לומר במדבר ומניים שבצוק, תלמוד לומר גזרה, משהו גזור, something which is cut. תקליף, תניה עידך עזאזל, קשה שבהרים, וכך היה אומר ואת אלה הארץ לקח. I don't have to translate. In other words, צוק. We'll see in a minute. Therefore the text read, cut off. Thus, also does it says, and okay, I don't need, yes. Two, davar acher, en gzera, ela davar hamidgazer v'yored. The one, it cuts itself and goes down. This is the Mishnaic interpretation on the Azazel. The Talmudic, Midrashic interpretation of Eretz Gzera clearly demonstrated a deliberate attempt to reason and explain the Mishnaic custom of pushing the scapegoat from the cliff. Clearly. Such is also the rendering of the Targum Siyod or Jonathan on Leviticus 16:10. Betar takif v'kashe zimizbara detzuk duhu bet haruri hakashe bet haruri. Which is not bet haruri, it's bet hadudi. In the desert, we know it. From the Dead Sea Scrolls. Midra Sifra Haremot 2:8 hakashe baharim. Similarly, the tradition to justify the Talmudic interpretation that Azazel is a rough and a difficult place, a location name, continued. Some of the medieval exegetes, looking for a more accurate philological foundation of the term Azazel, based their etymology on the Arabic language, or the Arabic language. Sa'adia, in his commentary to the Pentateuch, renders Le Jabal Azaz. Jabal Azaz. Jabal Har. To a hill of a rough ground. A more detailed discussion of the term is found in his book, Sefer HaEmunot VaDe'ot, the book of the belief of opinions, there battling the heretic Hivya Balhi, the very famous Karaite. He quotes, who argues that Azazel is a demon. Hivya Balhi argues that Azazel is a demon. Sa'adia quotes state. See, Sa'adia tried to defend the Mishnaic custom. It's very interesting what's going on here. We'll see. I'll bring all the Jewish sources and then we'll go to the non-Jewish sources and then you decide. If you like it, fine. You don't come to my class anymore. No, I'm just kidding. והתשיעי, הקורבן אשר הם מקריבים לעזאזל, סעדיה, ביום הכיפורים, כי כבר נדמה לבני אדם שהוא שם שד, ואומר כי עזאזל שם הר, כמו שאמר במקום אחר, במדבר י' זין, הוא יקע את אדום בגי מלח 10,000 ותפס את הסלע במלחמה, ויקרא את שמע יקותי אל עד היום וכן יבני אל וירופי אל וירפי אל הכל מקומות ודה אל. That's what Sa'adia says. Sa'adia's statement clearly attempts to A. refute the belief held by some that the Israelites were offering to demons, B. rationalizing the Mishnaic ritualistic procedure. Similarly, Ibn Janah, no one else, equates Azazel with the Arabic Azaza, stating that ומן העניין הזה אמרו לארץ קשה עזאזל האלף והלמד נוספות בו. The greatest genius. Azaz, קשה. From like Hebrew, I was Azaz. But that's what he says, the genius Ibn Janah. Not without philological difficulties, G.R. Driver adapts Sa'adia as an Ibn Janah Arabic etymological equation, arguing further that in the word Azazel, A, the Aleph is not essential element of the root, B, an addition of a formative Lamed, La Azazel, as in Hebrew, Kerem, Karmel, Arif, Arafel, El, huh? This one. The Arabic Azazum, rough ground, Azazilu, broken plural, jagged cliff precipice. That's what Driver says, and that's how the NEB, New English Bible, adapted the translation precipice of the Mishnah. The second prevailing theory, especially held by modern biblical scholars, it's written over here, collars, without the S, it's a mistake. Is that that Azazel is in the name of a demon inhabiting the desert. This view, sending the Azazel supernatural power, is a dominated opinion expressed in the Midrashic literature from the early post-biblical period till the very late Midrashim. Interesting. Halakha, precipice. Midrash, demon. Ma'ad ma'anyen. Very interesting. The oldest sources, the oldest source of the story of Azazel is found in the Ethiopic Book of Hanukh. You know that the Book of Hanukh, Masfarim HaChitzonim, was not found in Hebrew, but was found in Ethiopic, is the most ancient of the Book of Hanukh. The Book of Enoch, is this, the Goyim say, Enoch. When I was a student, the teacher, the professor, said, Enoch, let me read my Enoch. Enoch, Enoch. Then I came to the professor and I said, what do you mean you don't know? Hanukh. Oh, Book of Enoch. There, Azazel, to be dealt in detail later in the paper. There, Azazel, or Az-El. Or Az-El, not Azazel, Az-El. Number the 10th of the list of the fallen angels is represented to be a source of all evil and corruption, identified with that of the Mishnah. Likewise, it is noteworthy that the Talmud has a second interpretation of the term, referring to the legend of the two fallen angels in Yoma 6-7. Tana Rabbi Ishmael Azazel Shemchaper al Maaseh Uza V'Azel. Rabbi Ishmael. Based on the Midrash, based on the Midrash Deuteronomy Rabbah, Rashi comments, V'Uza V'Azel Malachi Chabla Sheyardu La'aretz B'Yemei Na'amah אחות ובעל קין בעליהם נאמר ויראו בני האלוהים את בנות האדם. כלומר, על העריות מחפר. I'm not translating. In the late Midrash, פירקד רבי אליעזר, chapter 46, Azazel is identified with Satan, Samal. With the Satan or Samal, the devil. Most probably 6th, 7th century. Wherein, you know that I'm the lover of Midrashim. That's my Yemeni function. You know, we love Midrashim. You know, we study the Kishur. You know, the Yemeni study the Kishur. You know the Kishur? Between, I don't know, you have the Kishur? It's between Amotsi, between Bekat Amazon and... between Amotsi and Bekat Amazon, Yeladim Ketanim היו אומרים Midrashim, זה לקשר. In order to not dabber shlosha she'achlu mizeh b'chol, she'divrei Torah b'nehem, so we used to learn the Midrashim by heart. So for me, Shabbat is Shabbat of Midrashim. I Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, kol ha'mi, ani ohev et zeh, ani meshuga al zeh. Based on Midrash, Deuteronomy Rabbah, Rashi comments, this I did already, no, Samal Devil, Midrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, where in another late Midrash, referring to the two fallen angels, Shamchazai and Azazel. Azazel, the demonic seducer, is clearly equated with that of Leviticus 16. Quote, Azazel lo chazar b'tshuva, ועדיין עמד בקלקולו להסיד בני אדם לדבר עבירה. ולכן היו ישראל מקריבים קורבנות ביום הכיפורים, גורל אחד לשם, שיחפר על ישראל וגורל אחד לעזאזל, שיסבול עוונותיהם של ישראל, והוא עזאזל שבתורה. The tradition of understanding Azazel as a supernatural demonic being. Oh, by the way, I didn't tell you, this is off a note. I asked Professor Lieberman, Alav HaShalom, why the custom in the Mishnah was changed. Why? The Shadal says, Lutzato says, that because Eretz Yisrael hayta ktana bizman ha-Mishnah, ve-lo haya ze, lo ha-Midbar, lo hayta Eretz Rechavat Yadayim. Look at Shadal there in his interpretation of Azazel. Well, when I asked Professor Lieberman, and this I ask post-mortem, after I wrote the article, he told me, Tawil, or you could call me Tawil, but Tawil, you know, that the same thing happened with Skila. In Biblical Hebrew, in the Bible, Skila is stoning, and Skila in the Mishnaic period is throwing it from the precipice. It says this is absolutely an adaption of a Greek-Roman custom. The precipice. This is by side effect. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that first Yarod Yara, you throw him down from a high place, and if that doesn't kill him, then Sato Yisakel.
That's it. Nice Midrash.
Not Midrash, it's the Talmud, the Pharisee.
Well, I mean, there's the question, Pirush is the Pirushu. But we, okay, we will get into that. I don't want to go the side effect. This is, I just want to continue with the thesis here. The tradition of understanding Azazel as a supernatural demonic being was likewise advocated by the medieval commentators, the rationalist Ibn Ezra, and the mysticist Ramban, respectively. They agree with each other. This is also fascinating. Ibn Ezra states, Ibn Ezra states, Vayomer Rav Shmuel, Af al pi shekatuz b'sa'ir hatat, shu l'shem, גם השעיר המשתלח הוא לשם, ואין צריך, כי המשתלח אינו קורבן, כי לא ישחט. ואם יכולת להבין הסוד שאחרי מילת עזאזל תדע סודו וסודו וסוד שמו, כי יש לו חברים במקרא, ואני אגלה לך קצת הסוד ברמז, בין 33, תדע אינו. קאונט, 33 פסוקים. בדיוק. Both of them agree. In other words, if you count 33 psukim until you get the Azazel was yes, right, the Se'irim. For the goat was sent away. No, this is the translation now. Ibn Ezra, enigmatic style, points out that a Azazel modifies Hamidbara unto the wilderness is shed demon. B, the scapegoat for the demon Azazel is not to be considered as a sacrifice, but rather is to be sent free to the desert, bearing all the sins of the people. Ramban, on the other hand, while agreeing with Ibn Ezra that Azazel is some sort of a demon, nevertheless followed the Lechidah of the Midrash, maintaining that the goat was offered as a present bribe, shochad, remember, to the Satan, describing the characteristic of Azazel. Ramban writes, והנה התורה עשה לגמרי קבלת אלוהותם וכל עבודה עליהם, אבל ציווה הקדוש ברוך הוא ביום הכיפורים שלח שעיר במדבר לשר המושל במקומות החורבן, והוא הראוי לו מפני שהוא בעליו ומאצילות כוחו יבוא חורב ושיממון, כי הוא העילה לכוכבי החרב והדמים והמלחמות והמרבות והפשעים והמכות והפירוד והחורבן, ובחלקו עוד השדין הנקראים מזיקים בלשון רבותינו ובלשון הכתוב שעירים. Both agrees that Azazel is a demon. Now you're going to have fun. The legend describing Azazel as a demon, I brought all the biblical sources, most of it. The legend of describing Azazel as a demon, though post-biblical and late, may well go back to a very ancient source. Umberto Casuto, in his reconstruction of the biblical epic of creation, noted that the rabbinic and midrashic literature kept very ancient mythological motifs of God war against the monsters of the sea in his very, very famous article, Shirat Ha'alila Bamikra. Very famous article. Likewise, Shaul Lieberman, Alav HaShalom, has clearly pointed out that the rabbis of the Talmud were well familiar with the demonological world of ancient literature. Indeed, many of the mythological and legendary elements, as well as legal terminologies found in post-biblical literature, are rooted in antiquities, specifically in the ancient Near Eastern tradition. In other words, the Midrash preserve it, the Halakha doesn't. Try to suppress it. It is thus the aim of the present paper. Now is the aim of the present paper. Amatara of this present paper is to philologically study the biblical midrashic demon Azazel in the light of West and East Semitic magical ritualistic background, ultimately arriving to the proper etymological and semantical meaning, as well as the mythological function of this enigmatic word. In other words, I'm going to take you now. Baruch Levin wrote an article about Yom Kippurim, but did not deal with Azazel philologically as I'm dealing, although I'm quoting him, and he quotes me in his book on JPS there. On Azazel. And he agrees with me. In other words, we're going to go to the world of antiquity, Northwest Semitic, Ugaritic, Canaanite on one hand, Akkadian on the other hand, and we will have fun. The answer should be noted that the comparison of the ritualistic ceremony dispatching the goat as a substitutionary element with the Konir form and other magical texts, Shurpu and Maklu. Shurpu and Maklu are two very important bodies. Shurpu and Maklu. Shurpu comes from the word Saraf, and Maklu comes from the word Kala, Kufla Medhei, which means also to burn, Kli, Lasur Kikena. This is an omen, and this is craft of ritual of against the against all the Ashapu, the Kashaptu, the Ashafim, the Kashafim, you know, the magical world. The latest and the most recent comparative treatment of the point of view of the ritualistic structure as well as the relationship between the actual dispatch and the remaining aspect of the ritual, i.e. sacrifice, the atonement with the blood of the sacrifice, was studied by Baruch Levin in Eretz Israel 9, 1969-88-95. He likewise utilizes the more appropriate Akkadian series Utuku Limuti, evil spirits, Utuku Limuti, evil spirits, as a basic inscription for understanding the ritual of the Day of Atonement. It's an excellent article. Anybody who saw Yom HaKippurim, Baruch Levin. It's Azazel, Chaim Tawil. No, I'm very serious. I don't want to be so bashful, but this was accepted by dictionaries and many. My thesis. In a minute, you'll see it. I hope you'll accept it too. The basic inscription, the magical ritual exhibition text enabled better understanding. Turning to this Akkadian text dealing with demons, we learn that demons, the source of all evil, destruction and desolation, iniquities and sins, disease and sicknesses, are the children of the netherworld. Meaningly, all the disease, all the sicknesses, all evil come from the netherworld. You know that in biblical time, the idea in early biblical time, the idea of Gan Eden was not really even the resurrection was not exactly so. Rabbi Awaryu, Mazal Tov. I didn't see you. My glasses. I'm getting old. You know, and you're getting younger. what I was saying about the net. Yeah. For instance, the way death, day, life after death was not exactly so common. Clearly, it says in Iyov, "Kala anan bayelech ken yoretz ol lo yale," and then Bagbag says Iyov kafar b'tchiyat amitim. And then Bagbag did not know that Iyov did not know about the tchiyat amitim. In antiquity, people lived in the netherworld. So netherworld, the Sheol, in a minute. Iniquities, disease, sickness are the children of the netherworld. Namtaru. Maru naram elil iti erish kigal elish iktitsu mashap lishkara idu shunu binut arali shunu. Quote in English. Namtar, the beloved son of Enlil, the offspring of erish kigal. Erish kigal, I'm quoting now an Akkadian text from the demons that are coming. In a minute you'll see the Akkadian text is quoted 25. It is from city, okay, lo chashuv. Anyhow, I'm translating. Namtar is the god of death. Is Hades for the Greeks, god of death, and god of pestilence. Namtar, the beloved son of Enlil. Enlil was also an evil god, the one who brought the flood and so on, the Akkadian. The offspring of Erish Kigal. Erish Kigal is the goddess of the netherworld. Above the demons rage, literally bared the fangs. Below, they put mourning garment. They are the creature of the netherworld. They are begotten of the sperm of Anu. Sharihut Anim Rihu, Maru Iliti Ersitim Shunu. They are the begotten, I'm giving you the whole idea, the whole thing of demons. They are begotten of the sperm of Anu, sons, who are the offspring of the netherworld. Their natural habitation is thus in the crevices, in Nigitsu, Hurru, Horim, desolated places, Nidutu, from the verb Nada, מקום נדוי, מקום מנודה, of the nether world. Quote, in a nigitzi erciti, it anahalu, in a niduti erciti, it ne'ilu. They, the demons, are always creeping in the subterranean crevices, amid the desolated place of the netherworld they always lie. They always dwell in the subterranean crevices, amid the desolated place of the bosom of the netherworld. Bosom of the netherworld. By the way, Eretz in Akkadian Ertzitu means the netherworld. That's why Eretz Asher Ba'e Halo Yishuvun, Yov, Eretz there means the netherworld, does not mean an Eretz. Not now. Demons were believed to come from the netherworld. Utuku limutu, alu limutu, etimu limutu, galu, ishtu elchitim, itatsu. Through the crack, the hole, the ground from the Gilgamesh epic, we learn that Enkidu spirit, Enkidu the very famous in Gilgamesh, came forth from the netherworld. Conceived by a Mesopotamian a short distance below the face of the ground, throughout a hole. In other words, all the demons coming from the hole, from the netherworld. All the diseases are coming from the netherworld. All the evil things are coming from the earth through a hole. Quote, in Akkadian, I'm not giving you the Akkadian, if there is, yes. Quote, Karadu etlu nerga lumantakip erchitim iptema, erchitim aras niftahat, utuku shainkudo kizaki ki urtu erchitim itatsa. As soon as the hero Nergal, the god of pestilence also, the god of death, opened the hole in the netherworld, the ghost of Enkidu came forth. That's why the whole idea of Ba'alata Ov, you know, Mahor, from the netherworld, like the breath of wind. Yeah. So one of the sons of Sanherib, that they committed the coup d'etat there. Mm-hmm. Yes. Furthermore, yeah, well, they were called on the gods. Furthermore, demons causing all sorts of calamities come from the netherworld through the crack in the ground, just as plants. Quote, the Ahazu demon leaves the ground like a grass, making the people living in the cities sick, make their bodies burn. A more elaborate description of demons springing through the crack from the netherworld, attacking mankind, is found in the Babylonian Job, Lulul Benemiki. Headache, demon, has sprung from the bosom of the netherworld. Evil cough has come forth from the subterranean deep. Irresistible ghost has come out from the netherworld. I leave you be with Arcadian. Coming up from the netherworld, to the world of the living, demons and other powers of hostility, most common dwelling place is the steep land. Sumerian Edin, Akkadian Tseru. Utukulemnu etimu shaina tserim shupu. The evil demon, the ghosts, which are dominated, visible in the steep. In other words, they live in the world, they're coming out from the world through a horim, and they live in the steeps. That's why Isaiah say about the Lilith. Steep, you know, in the open country. Step, I'm sorry. What do you want from me? Yeah, step. Step. A more elaborate description, okay, we got it. Coming from the netherworld, right. The evil demons, ghosts, which dominate the visible nether. The verb employed to describe the movement of the demons in the stepland is alaku, shatu, etzadu, dalu, rapadu, nagatsu, nasbadu. They walk about, they rove about, they reel about, they hover, they roam about. As pointed by Talkwitz, a very great German scholar, the common Sumerian term Edin, Akkadian Tseru, step, is also understood as a symbolic designation from the netherworld. Especially employed in the Tammuz liturgical text, meaningly, in the step overpowered by storm, in the step enclosed, my brother, in the step enclosed, in the step of the netherworld, in the step enclosed, my brother, in the step enclosed. Sumerian. Similarly, Akkadian Tseru step, Akkadian likewise employs the idiom Ereb Shamshi, which means Arob HaShemesh, as another symbolic attribute to the netherworld. conceived by the Mesopotamian to be situated in the west. The descent then might be considered as a desert journey towards the west. Talkmitz further indicates that the substantive churbu, churbatu, horava in Hebrew, namu, and karmu usually denote ruin, west, desolated place. Comes also to connote the netherworld. Meaningly, how human beings in this world conceive the netherworld. They have not in the netherworld. They conceive the netherworld as a desolated place where all evil demons roam around. From the cuneiform incantation, magical and puhu, substitute ritual texts, we further learn the demons and other supernatural powers bearing diseases, destruction, and death are to be chased away from the land of the living back to their natural birth of place of habitation, the netherworld, the primary source of evil diseases. Accordingly, Marduk, known for his anti-demonic powers, addresses the demons as follows. Very important text. May Mesalamma hand you over to the land of no return. Eretz asher ba'ehu lo yishivu. Erce, I'm missing the whole thing. Ercet latari. Latari is lo lachzor. Eretz asher ba'ehu lo yishivun. May he commit you seven doorkeepers of Eresh Kigal. May he commit you to Namtar, the vizier of the underworld, who keeps guard to the gate of captive of the gods. May he cause you to enter the gate of the great underworld. May he hand you over to the great devils. May Nedu, the head doorkeeper of the underworld, hold the gate against you. May he give you over to Ningish Zida, the herald of the vast netherworld. May the Anunnaku, the great gods, bind you. In other words, you go to the netherworld, you cannot get out of the netherworld. Ishtar, when she descended to the netherworld, we have a beautiful piece. Ishtar, when she was going to find her love Tammuz, the whole idea of Nashima Mbakota Tammuz, she went the distance of Ishtar to the netherworld, she couldn't get out. She didn't get out. Only Ea, the god of wisdom, had to devise all kind of friends to get her out. It's Eres Asher Ba'eha Lo Yishivun. In other words, all the diseases, everything which is wrong has to be chased back to the netherworld. Likewise, in the Babylonian Job, restored back to his previous state of health, claimed that Marduk was the god of life, was responsible for driving away sicknesses and other demonic power back to the original localities. Ana'irat Erzitim, to the bosom of the netherworld, I will bring all diseases. Furthermore, along Ana Erceti, Erz Latari, Apsu, Ekuru, Ereshkigal, to the netherworld, to land of no return, subterranean, deep, underworld, we likewise learn the demons and other powers and hostility are to be driven away to their designated location, symbolic of the netherworld. So too, the scapegoat, figurine, being a substitutory element bearing diseases, is also dispatched to the Tseru steep, to the Ereb Shamshi, the west, where both nouns are used symbolic designation of the netherworld. Meaningly, what really happened? You have what they call the Mushtalhepu. Mushtalhepu is a slaughtered goat, and the Tsalmu, they are going to the Hur. In other words, what happens here? If a person is sick, in Akkadian, you take a scapegoat. This goat sleeps with the person the whole night. Completely the whole night. All the diseases and everything that goes to the scapegoat, and then the scapegoat is taken by the Ashapu Kashaptu. He takes them to the netherworld, to the midbar. He digs a hole in the midbar. He kills the scapegoat, and he covers. In other words, all the diseases are going down to the netherworld. Turning back to the problem at hand, we notice that the post-biblical Ethiopic book of Enoch, the demonic folic angel Azazel, is being deposed of in a similar way that demons and other hostile powers treated in the Akkadian magical text. In the morning, he takes a goat, he goes to the desert, he makes all kind of ritual, he pours oil, dvash, honey, whatever it is, he digs a hole, he puts the scapegoat in the hole, he covers, and he comes back. Now watch what happened in Hanoch. In the book of Hanoch, Azazel is the origin of all evil, magical and incantation text. In the book of Enoch, Azazel is the origin of evil, corruption. Ra'ita et asher Azazel, et asher asa Azazel, asher lamad et kol ha-hamas al ha-aretz. Two, but yishahet kol ha-aretz bilmod ma'aseh Azazel ve-katavta alav et kol ha-het. What do you do to Azazel? Asar et Azazel yadav ha-raglav, וישלחתו אל החושך, another world, ועשית פתח אל המדבר אשר בדודאל, וישלחתו שמה, ושמת עליו סלעים קשים וחדים, וכיסתו בחושך, you covered him in the darkness, וישב שם לעולם, וישב שם עד לעולם, you will be there forever, וכיסית את פניו לבר יראה אור, and you cover the face, no. In other words, you take out of there, and you put him into the ground, exactly as in the Akkadian texts. Hanukkah Hitchonim. Absolutely. In a minute I'm going to summarize it. B, in Hanukkah, וישאל למי מכינים את הכבלים האלה? Hanukkah, you know, he's taking for a tour by Hashem. And he sees the Azazel, the whole business. למי מכינים את הכבלים האלה? ויאמר אליי, את אלה מכינים לצבאות Azazel. לקחת אותם ולהשליחם אל תחתית כל העונש, to the bottom of the pit, ולחסות את לחייהם באבנים חדות, very sharp stone, כאשר ציווה אדון הרוחות. Here Azazel is to be taken to the desert, consequently to be shot in the hole, and be casted in the netherworld forever. Accordingly, the literal mythological correspondence between the above Akkadian incantation and magical text and those of the book of Enoch may be summarized as follows. One, darkness is a description of the netherworld, Akkadian, Nura la amaru, lo lirot or. Hanoch bal ra'a or. Two, bind, tie the demon. Akkadian kamu, to bind. Hanoch asar. Three, to cast, to drive the demon to the netherworld, literally to the darkness. Hoshech. Akkadian ina ekleti ituti nadu, ekleti hachlili meyain, which means a dark. Dark from this, to throw to the darkness, Nadu, Enoch, Hashlech El HaChoshech, ממש אותו דבר. Akkadian, in Ashapliti, Erciti, Shapliti, Nadu, El Eretz, Eretz, Erciti, El Aretz, Shapliti, Eretz and Muhammad, Mela Shvela, Nadu, to throw to Kes, which means the netherworld, Enoch, Hashlech El Tahtit, Shapliti, Shvela, Tahtit. Four, to imprison, shut up the demon in the netherworld, literally the grave, Akkadian in a kabrim kalu, kala in Hebrew bakever, enoch kala betachtiyot. This is an unbelievable parallel. Five, to dispatch the demon, a substitutionary element, to the step, to dig an open hole, Akkadian in a tseri, burtu, bor, churru, hor, petu, פתח בור חור באקדית, אנוך עשה פתח אל המדבר. כן, ביטל. כן. My point is, you have to hear me out and then. I'm reconstructing the whole thing in biblical what happened. And I'm reconstructing it. I'm in a way of reconstruction, but I have to take all the sources. Well, the rabbi says that if Hanoch had the demonic, there's no hesitation. This is absolutely. Chaval sheni ta ma'amar. I'm going to give it to you, but you see, it's very, because you have all the footnotes and everything.
When was Hanoch compiled? Hanoch. When was it? Early Second Temple.
Right? Hanoch. Actually, most probably 2nd century before. Sure. More specifically, alongside Tseru, the steppe land, Akkadian also employed the substantive Mudabiru, Midbar, to mean not only an open country, but also to denote a chaotic place, a characteristic of the netherworld. Midbar, Hakerega. That is to say, exactly, that is exactly as Azazel in Enoch, the Mushaltipu goat, bearing the disease, is being placed in a hole, Akkadian Huptu, in the open country, Ana Mudabiru, Hanuch, Ela Midbar, to remain there forever. Then, what the fellow, the Ashapu, does, he dig a pit, pour honey, oil into it, they shall hack off the forelegs and then put them into the pit not to see light forever. In the book of Enoch, the reference to Midbar as a land of hostile and inhuman and arid, dry country, desolated place where demons and other hostile powers freely roam around, a land of death, a land of no return, a place of symbolic of the netherworld. Nothing. I'm a pit. I'm a hole. I'm the worst thing. That's a Midbar. I cannot go into it. Anyhow, in the book of Enoch, Midbar is a land of hostile human beings, arid country, desolated place, where demons roam around, hostile powers still roam around, land of death and no return, a place of symbolic of the netherworld, is unmistakably to such a physical and symbolic locale, the scapegoat bearing the sins of Israel is to be dispatched on the Day of Atonement. Accordingly, in the light of the Akkadian magical incantation text involving formulaic prescription against demons, diseases, one may venture to assume that the story employed in the book of Enoch may well go back to antiquity, to an ancient source. Though legendary, it seems to preserve an original and more full account of the actual physical dispatch. That is to say, that is to suggest, that the scapegoat in Leviticus 16, taking to by the porter, Ish-Iti, to the open country, desert, not just freely roam around until the natural death occurs, but to kill it, not to sacrifice it, to kill it, not to sacrifice, bound it, place it in the hole and cover it, not unlike the Mishnaic procedure, all in all, to prevent the returning back alive to the city. From the Akkadian text, from Hanoch, the Ish-Iti, my opinion, Dag, it's lacunic. He says a Midbar in a minute, you see. This assumption may gain some ground, noting that alongside the biblical dash, Enoch, Eretz, Midbar, Akkadian, Tseru, Mudabiru, Midbar, Sheol, the scapegoat is this special Eretz Gzera. Now, this is a beaut. Where is the chalk? Hapax Legomenon. I'm going to kill two Hapax Legomenon together. Eretz Gzera and Hapax Legomenon. The idiom, the compound. No, nowhere is it tested. Only there. In a minute. Eretz Gzera. The employment of the specific and unique idiom in sequential order with La'azazel and Amidbara expressing the totality of the same idea. Totality of the same idea. In a minute. It is not without a philological and contextual foundation. Is not without. It should be observed that Eretz Gzera was freely rendered by Targumim Unkel Ason Yonatan as Ara Layatva. Absolutely not a literary translation. Don't expect Ara Eretz Asher Lo En Ba Yishuv, an uninhabited land, or Eretz Tzadia, a desolated place. Both consider the idiom as synonymous parallel to Midbar. They don't translate it literally. Such is also the understanding of the medieval commentator with regard to the this is your marking expression. Biblical Hebrew gazar, to cut, is attested 15 times. And similar to its synonym karat, at least in four cases, only in the Nifal, it denotes to be cut off from the world of the living, i.e. to die. It is further interesting that the verb gazar is always employed in context involving the netherworld. 63 in Isaiah 53:8, Ezekiel, Psalms, Lamentations. It is likewise significant that alongside the cuneiform idiom Ertzitu, Kablitu, Shaplitu, Rapshatu, Katimtu, Nisatu, Rukutu, a land, the bottom land, a land far away, a land which is closed, a land which is which is dark. Akkadian further employs the term, and now you love me, Ashru Parsu. Can beat this. And now I'm leaving you to your own. Anybody could know this Akkadian? Ashru Parsu, it's in Aramaic. Could you transliterate it to Aramaic? No. Ashru, anybody? Eh? No. אולי אשר בתנ״ך, אבל לארמית. מה בקשר לאתר? נכון, מקום. אין פרסו? פרוס, גזור. A cut of land. אשרו פרסו. ארץ גזירה. A cut of land from the land of the living. Translation. Ashru Parsu in Akkadian, Ashru Parsu, to a cut off, i.e. secluded, forbidden place, also yield the netherworld. Quote, O evil demon, go forth to distant places. Utuku lemnu tzi ananisati. O evil alu demon, go to unto ruins. Alu lemnu atak ananame. Your post is a cut-off, secluded place. Manzaska, Ashru Parsu. A ruined, desolated house is your home. Shubatka, Bitu, Nadu, Harbu. When I saw this, I got crazy. I said, that's it. I'm finishing, and then I'm going to go to the goodies. Here, Akkadian Ashru Parsu, employed in sequential order with Nisatu, Namu, Bitu, Nadu, Harbu, is unmistakably the exact semantic equivalent of the Hebrew Hapax, idiomatic Hapax, idiomatic Hapax, Eretz Gzera, a cut-off place for human habitation used in Leviticus 16 as a symbolic designation of the netherworld. The steep, and I'm finishing, the steppe desert referring to a chaotic location symbolic of the netherworld where demons freely roam around is precisely also the natural domain of Mot, the chief god of the Canaanite pantheon, the god of death. And we have better than this. The Mot himself, as a personal name, is preserved in the Tanakh. In a minute. Mot. Mot is Namtar, Eresh Kigal, Mot is Hades. Mot is the son of Baal, is the son of El and Asherah, and the son and the brother of Baal, and his sister is Anat, the very famous Anat. Mot, the god of Hades, the god of all that lacks life and virility. Anat, in search of her brother Baal, meets Mot, where the latter describe his wandering as follows. אני אנא התעלק ואצד כל הור לכבד ארץ, כל גבע לכבד שדים, נפש חסרת בין נשים, נפש המולת ארץ, מגעת לנעמי ארץ, דובר יסמסמת שד שחלמות. קננאית. אני התהלכתי ואצוד, צוד means to roam around, כל גור or every mountain, לכבד ארץ, to the bottom, to the lekaved haaretz, to the bottom of the netherworld, mount the bosom of the netherworld. Every hill in the middle of the underworld, life was wanting among men, life and breath among the earth masses. I came to the pleasance of the steppe land, the beauty of the steppe of the crest field of Mot. He describes she met Mot, and there was a whole war. She went down to the Netherworld, exactly like Ishtar. The similarity in phraseology between the above Ugaritic text and those of Akkadian scripts in describing the Netherworld by the use of the symbolic designation seems obvious. Accordingly, parallel to Mot, Tammuz, the god of love and agriculture, too portrayed in the, to descend to the Netherworld in the same manner. Ilak Ishit ana irat ercetim, Shamash irtabishu ana ercetim ituti. He walks, he roams about into the bosom of the Netherworld. Irat ercetim, kvad eretz beugaritit, tabura aretz. In the middle, to the land of the dead. It should be observed that A, describing the movement of demons, dead ghosts, the Akkadian verbs ala kushatu, to walk, to roam around, corresponds to Ugaritic yalaka tsud. Same thing. Shatu tsud, alaku in Akkadian, yalak in Hebrew. By the way, you know the verb halak is not original, it's yalak, yud lamet kaf. That's the shortest. The shortest yud lamet kaf. It's not Hebrew, short it halech. Satan. Yov, shoot it halech. Take a look at the similarity. Alaku shatu, Hebrew shot it halech. Ugaritic yalach tsud, tzadik vav dalet. Akkadian employs, shoot it halech, referring to the Satan wandering in Job 1:7-2. B, alongside irat kigali, kapit arali, libi ercetim, which means irat kigali, the bosom of the netherworld, kapit arali, aralu, also the kaveda, kaveda, the yes, libi ercetim, lev ha, the lev of the netherworld, the midst of the netherworld. Akkadian also employs the more common expression irat ercetim. Beten ha-she'ol, and the Hebrew beten ha-she'ol respectively. Kvad aretz, kvad shadim, and Hebrew beten she'ol. Employs in Yonah 2:3. Jonah 2:3. The use of Ugaritic. Okay. All right. So Mot. And the last. Further, the Akkadian magical incantation and other related texts, demons inflicted disease and death, are described to be following adjective. The demons have the following adjective: Ezu, Shamru, Nadru, Gatsu, Gashpudanu, fierce, furious, raging, ferocious, outbearing, savage. I'm not going to quote. In describing the brute force applied to demons on human beings, death symbolized by fury and wrath in the following passage. Demons who knows not to save, rage against people, devour flesh, shed blood, drink blood from the veins. It is likewise noteworthy that Akkadian expression, the notation of raging demons by the more physical verb gatsatsu, to gash the teeth, to rage. Igdut skima ummu, he raged like a demon. Similarly, in the case of Canticle 8:6, Shir HaShirim 8:6, where the substantive azah and kasha, fierce and overbearing, are applied to Mot and Sheol. Azah, Kemot, Ahava, Kasha, Kishol, Sin'a. Aza, Kemot, Ahava. Kasuto says it. Not Aza, Kamavet, Ahava, as the abstract Mavet, death, and so on, but Mot and Sheol in parallelism, Aza and Kasha. Going to Azazel now. Accordingly, as pointed out by Umberto Kasuto, in Canticle 8:6, in other verses, Azah Kamot, as death, as the god of death, as the god of death, if you want.
Fierce as the god of death.
God of death was fierce. Mm-hmm. As death is fierce, especially when you have Mot and Sheol there. Mavet Ya'ale Be'ad. זה קשה מאוד. מוות יעלה בעד חלוננו, לא יכול להיכנס לכל הדברים. מוות יעלה בעד חלוננו, יבוא בארמונותינו. זה לא מוות יעלה בעד חלוננו. מות יעלה. מות is used to come and to kidnap the kids. from the windows. That's why the Arabs covered the windows with green or blue, whatever it is, against Harashil Yimaruch. From the Bible, you know. Okay, well, I cannot go into it now, but you have to, you know, we have the article here. Now, I'm coming to the point, and this is the last thing. Umbadu Kasuda further calls our attention to the fact that occasionally in Ugaritic text, the vocable az, ein zayin, fierce, is used as an epithet of mot. Epithet of mot is az. This usage of az describing mot seems to be confirmed only from the non-poetic Ugaritic letter of Iwi Riazi. And here is a text, which reads, Weyad ilim po kemot az mod, which Eshel Ginsburg and Meisler, which Mazar, translate, indeed, love of the gods is here like death, very fierce, very terrible. Significant also is the fact the element as describing the god mode is undoubtedly contained in the biblical theophoric name Azmavet. Azmot in the Septuagint, Azmavet, 88, in 2 Samuel and so on and so forth. And the geographical location, Bet Azmavet, Atarmot, Atarmavet, respectively meaning Mot is fierce. This specific usage seems to confirm that, I have the Hatzamavet here in the footnote, so we're going to confirm that the ancient Israelites were familiar with Mot's attribute as a fierce god. Similarly, in our opinion, to be viewed alongside biblical Azmavet is the term Azazel, likewise containing the two distinct elements, Azaz and El, to be rendered a fierce god, and it is a metathesis. If it is intentional metathesis or not an intentional metathesis, not for me to know. The inner shift of the Aleph, supported by the fact that A, in Samaritan Bible, at Torah Shomrit, in out of 3 cases, the spelling is Azazel, Ein, Zayin, Zayin, Aleph, Lamed. B, the interpretation of the legend of the fallen angel from Qumran, the cave number 4, twice read Azazel. The Pshita renders the word 3 times as Azazil. Targum Pseudo Jonathan, Genesis 6:4, refers to the two fallen angels, Sham Hazai ve Uziel. Late Midrash, Azel is clearly interchanged with Azazel. 91, Yalkut Shimoni. In the light of the above observation, we propose to specifically identify the biblical Azazel as Azazel with Mot, the Canaanite god, pay attention, with Canaanite god of the netherworld. Thus seeing in the name nothing but another epithet of Mot, conceived to be a fierce god, because of the monotheistic, pay attention to what I'm saying, because of the monotheistic consciousness of the Israelites, the biblical Mot and Azazel, were reduced from the statue of God, of a devil, an angel of death, were reduced. Like the Ugaritic Mot, the biblical Azazel, Mavet, was depicted as a demonic creature, who characteristically, as a Rambam portrayed him, personifies the evil, destruction, desolation, wars, bloodshed, wounds, plagues, diseases, sicknesses. He is the foremost and the ultimate ruler of the netherworld, and similar to Nergal in Akkadian text, was conceived as Shar-Tseri, the king of the steppe. From all that has been said, it stands to reason that in Leviticus 16, along the Hebrew Hamidbara, Akkadian Anatseri Mudabiri, Eretz Gezerah, Akkadian Ashru Parsu, words used as a symbolic designation of the netherworld, the scapegoat, exactly as the Mushaltipu goat, Talmud, the figurine, and demons bearing diseases, was likewise dispatched to Azazel, to the fierce god, Akkadian, Ana Erciti, Erciti, Tlatari, and so on, an epithet of Moth, which may also signifies the location of his domain, the netherworld itself. Meaningly, Azazel is the netherworld. Exactly as we say in modern Hebrew, Lech L'Azazel. So here you have a whole story of an Hapax Legomenon, two really, in a very ancient text of the whole scapegoat, was taken to Azazel, the netherworld, not for a sacrifice. This was the name already. Hamidbara, a land of no return, which conceived by human beings as netherworld, Eretz Gzerah, Ashru Parsu. Let's go to the goodies now. Sure, anytime. I just want to cover the material, you know, but anyhow.
Being that we spent an hour on it, which is very valuable on Azazel, but we spent a moment on what the, not the theology so much, but what's the system of the monotheistic Torah that it's using this another world, that they're sending the sins to another world. I mean, there's sort of a imagery that you get rid of sins where all the sicknesses and all the problems are, send them to that place also, which is sort of a remnant of an ancient mythological belief, a belief in idolatrous beings. But in the Torah, they're stripped of their being God.
Mythological thing, yeah.
Right, they're stripped of their being God, but they remain sort of in existence in this, at least in the imagery of this Torah, they remain in existence. So maybe you could comment on that just a moment.
What I'm saying, this is it's a very ancient text. It smells antiquity, the whole thing of the scapegoat.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that Azazel there already lost its mythological characteristics. Azazel became the name of the netherworld, another name of the netherworld, the fierce a place of death, and not in the sense of Azazel of Moth himself.
Right, but you have to then date this pasuk a little bit later, because already the Akkadian mythology was still very vibrant.
Very vibrant
in the centuries. 13th century is still very vibrant.
You see, I'm trying to be more tzaddik than a Ramban and Ibn Ezra. He says, Se'irim Habibi, there he says, I'm tzaddik, and I'm saying, no, it's not
even... One of the most difficult concepts to absorb in monotheism is that Ramban.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we've never heard anybody who really can explain how the Ramban allowed himself to say that. Pirush, better to say there's something here that we don't know. I agree that's so. But this would then support the monotheistic side of it would be very difficult in the 13th century, because then it was still, the Akkadian mythology was still very alive in the neighboring nations and the cultures. Was it still alive in the Akkadian in the 13th century?
Of course. I mean, the custom is alive. I mean, Moth is the chief god of Kenai, right. Pantheon existed, as you know, in Yirmiyahu, very, very late. You have their Baal and so on and so forth, you know, all these, which is not really fetishism, as Kaufman will say. But I think that this was a case of
demythologizing.
One of the earliest cases, right, of demythology. That's what my point.
It's like keeping something of it around,
yeah,
keeping some remnant of it around,
yeah,
just removing all the idolatry from
right.
But keeping something, because it's just, you can't ignore it completely. It's part of the world culture.
Right.
It's part of the vocabulary.
Right.
So instead of just prohibiting the whole business, you use the name, you use the concept of netherworld. And you
yes, and you see, especially Rabbi, especially when it's parallel to name of places, It's name of places. You have Eretz Gzerah, you have Midbar.
No, there's no question about it.
That Azazel has to be a name of a place, not from the point of view of sacrifice. I'm very conservative. Don't forget I'm Yemeni after all, you know. And you know, yes. Anybody wants to open to questions for a couple of minutes?
You're saying as much as if we would say today to somebody, oh, to the devil with you. Even though one might have no concept or belief at all with the devil, but the devil is like, go to the garbage. Go.
Yes, but why don't you take a better thing in Hebrew? Lech la'azazel.
I'm saying, but in English.
Lech la'azazel does not mean go to the God of Mod, go to hell.
Okay,
where does Lech la'azazel came from?
Without any concept of hell, just as if you're saying, get lost.
Get to a forbidden place.
But
get
to the devil with you might be a much closer thing, because devil has or had great religious significance.
No, but does it have a significance of local?
Of what?
Local, devil?
Whether it does or doesn't. But today, many people would use that. Now, for example, Shakespeare's plays, I'm sure the same. The concept of devil is devoid of religious or demonic meaning.
Very
it's
good.
Just used in a...
Very good. I agree with you. I have no problems with it at all. No problems with it at all. Very good.
We find constantly the word Sha'ol coming up.
Yeah.
Last week we had a time Sha'ol, Mor Sha'ol Vaya'al.
Where? Chol?
What?
Lechol?
So Sha'ol is something that's very, very commonly used and very freely used in the Bible.
Of course.
As being some sort of a netherworld.
Well, not some sort. The netherworld.
The netherworld.
But which we don't know even the etymology of the word Sha'ol. Rabbi, did you realize it? I don't know what Amal Sha'ol means. There's no cognate to it and no...
Any other language.
Clearly Hebrew per se. Very interesting thing. Yes, sir. But you heard what Rabbi Shammah says, that it's one of the difficult cases in with the Rambam. Well, I'm not an expert in the field, so I really... But the mere fact that he agrees over here completely with Ibn Ezra, this is significant, that this says, Bin Shloshim Shalosh Tida'enu, count 33 and you see Se'irim, and all of a sudden Rambam says, dependently says whatever he says.
Ramban.
Tov, I hope that you enjoyed it. I will give it to make a Xerox copy if you wish. I don't know, you have this article? You have a copy of the article. I wanted to share with you this article, not because I did not prepare. I could continue another three classes in Apax Legomenon. I want to share you something that I was involved and something which is very important from the ritualistic point of view, from, you know, the customers of... by the way, two articles came to me in Shul, in the Ashkenazic Shul, you know, after you were there. No, but it's a good Ashkenazic Shul, you know. Ayekin, you know. Two ma'amarim, this on Azazel and the business of Tzalaf, lo ma'ale velo morid, ela kematzlif. Which I've heard, this is גם ביום הכיפורים, שני המאמרים יצאו מבית הכנסת. I want to go to some Apax Legomenon that you would like very much, I think. Let me pick the best that I can. Okay. Let us take a look at Iyov Lamed Zayin Gimel, Iyov 37.3. Iyov 37.3. I'm skipping things, I'm trying to give you the best. 37.3. Three. Yeah. Yeah. Shim'u shamoa berogez kolo vehege mipiv yetze. Tachat kol ha-shamayim yishrehu ve'oro al kanfot ha-aretz. I'm continuing. Acharav ish'ag kol yara'em bekol ge'ono ve'lo ya'akvem ki yishama kolo. The whole yishrehu. Now, of course, yishrehu, it's very difficult. It's an Apax Legomenon, and what does it mean? Anybody? Shin Rashay, what Shara means? Eh? Soak.
Hover.
Hover?
Now.
Does hover make sense over here? You have over here, please, I want you to pay attention to very famous, the inductive methods that look at the context. Once you look at the context, like Ibn Ezra says, you would most probably would understand the word without even knowing the etymology of the word and the origin of the word. This is a very, very important rule in Ibn Ezra. Shamoah berogos kolo vehege mipi yitze. Daber al Hashem, nakhon? אף לזאת יחרד ליבי ויתר שמעו שמוע ברובוס קולו והגם הפיד את זה. Call in biblical Hebrew means thunder. Hege means also thunder. אורו על, עזבו תחת כל השמיים ישראל, ואורו על כנפות ארץ, הברקים, the lightning makes a light all over the land. אחריו ישאג קול, then he shall again thunder, ירעים בכל גאונו, להרעים, רעם. All right, so, פה השם מופיע, the manifestation of Hashem, is בקולות וברקים. Remember an Amos, אדוני מציון ישאג, ומירושלים ייתן קולו, ועבלו נאות הרועים, וירבש ראש הכרמל. שאג נתן קול, Mr. Thunder, and I think some of the friends over here, I taught for years already now, we know it in Kol Adonai Al HaMayim, El HaKabod Yeroim, Adonai Al HaMayim Rabbim, Kol Adonai Bakuach, Kol means thunder, it does not mean the voice. The voice, what's the voice? If it's so, Yisrael has to be a phenomenon, a nature phenomenon. And if you don't know what Yisrael is, it has to be something with Barak, has to do with something with Ram, and if you teach your students, that's the way that you should teach them. And start with etymology, shara, to reside, to this, you know. The
shana haparot.
No.
Yagid alav re'or. That's what they say. You always let
Yagid alav re'or. Absolutely. Kefel lashon, even in Palism, you don't mean mila. In Dochyam, I think, very well, in the Surah Aron, Surah Aron, you know, in Dochyam, אז הוא אומר לו, אין ריאה, אבל הוא אומר, חבר לו, absolutely, rabbi, this is very, very important that I've learned.
It has to be that the pasuk is right
here. Absolutely. But here we have a very beautiful, it's really a beaut, you know? A beaut. A beaut. Ugaritic. Shin, resh, hey. The yud is restored over here. I'm not going to cheat you. Chaval sheroni po, rochev ba'aravot. Roni lo po. However, this is a beaut. What? You're making fun of me? Baal epic. Baal is the god of thunder, the god of the god of thunder, the god of light, the god of fertility, of rain. Vayiten kolo ba'arafot. He thunders. Hashem mitzion ishag u'mirushalayim yiten kolo. Ba'arafot. Which means the clouds. Rochev ba'aravot b'yashmo. Ba'al epi, lehadil el alvei avdalot, ba'al epi said, Izraki b'arapati. The rider of the cloud. I told Roni, Shara la'aretz brakim. He flashes to the land, brakim. To flash. Back to Iyov. Tachat kol ha'shamayim yishrehu. Flash. Continuation? Man, and for Ba'ayot, and from the Bible. You got it? Baal epic. 18th century, 19th century, before the era, at the time of Abraham. Beautiful, no? No worry, I answer my students, what do you think? Hebrew was born in Galicia. Right, very close to Syria, not even Yemen. Yemen is far, right there, you know, Syria, Iraq. Yiten kolo ba'aravot. Yiten kolo ba'ananim. Shara la'aretz brakim. Hebrew. Of course, I could vocalize it how it was in 18th century, but it's not a class for this. I'm trying to pick Baal epic, the Baal epic in Ugaritic. Maybe I should teach Ugaritic next year, you know. It's going to be fun, you know. Take passages, you know. I'm really mamash passages, you know. You to flesh.
You know what it means, or you're
extrapolating? Not extrapolating, this is the regular...
The meaning of the word here.
Yeah, but hold your horses.
Maybe
to
change your name from Sarai to
Sarah. He got me now. I say hold your horses, you couldn't hold your horses. Yeah, maybe Sarah means the fleshy one. The shiny one. Maybe. Why? Because of the whole thing of the moon god and Terach, and Yerach, and we don't have the expression of Sarah. It's not Sharatu for sure. An Akkadian Sharatu means, even Sharatu. A Sharatu is the epithet of the wife of Sin, the god of the moon. But Sarai, the fleshy one, with the Yud. With the Yud, gentilic. Maybe it's Sarai, the fleshy one. Maybe, this I'm not sure, but here I'm sure. Should I continue or what?
Yeah.
Not even here. I mean, I will continue. I'll pick only the goodies because I have so much here. I don't know what to pick anymore. Good. Let us take a look in Isaiah, something very, very cute. In Isaiah 8:16. Isaiah 8:16:20. Yeshayahu Het 16. Ken. Het Tete Zain. Sort of Uda. What Uda means? I know we were the clue, you know. Ima Kibalti Uda, lot of, you know. What is Uda? Why? You think so? Oud? No, Oud Ba'ain, not Oud. No, the Oud, the Aleph. The Ain T'Udah here.
The witness, the document of the testimony.
You think that it's testimony?
Maybe, because Chatom.
It's what? Katom. Seal the,
maybe, I don't know.
So what does it mean? What does Torah mean? Torah comes from the verb yara, instruction. And more means an instructor. Ginsburg rightly compared Te'uda over here, and he wants to revocalize from the verb Adad, Ain, Dalet, Dalet, as from Hanan, Tehina, from Halal, Tehila, from Halal, Tehila, so Te'ida. And Adad is a message. Message. We have a text in also in Aramaic that says Zakir, the one of the most ancient Aramaic inscriptions, some of you know this was my PhD dissertation, that the god Baal appears to Zakir, Zakur, An Aramaic inscription from the 9th century, Biyad Hazayin and Biyad Uddedin. Messengers. So Ta'ida could mean a message. And Oded, most probably is a hypocharisticon for Odediah, the messenger of God, like Malachiah or Malachi. Why? Because in Ugarit, Ta'ida, where is my chalk? In Ugarit, Ta'ida is parallel. Ugaritic Ta'ida is parallel to Malachim, messengers.
But over here the parallelism doesn't work well with
Quran. What is the parallelism there?
For that, as instruction.
Message and instruction, yes. It's not the testimony. It's just a message that you van vuat nu van lozo khata pasuk
not vuat and
you rush to bring down some of our photos even usual kind of yeah but adadin is for sure messengers biyad mal biyad hazayin biyad adadin and tauda means the message but exactly torah means the message too it's something which is what
it's a report card also a message
a report absolutely
so
nothing
today,
very good but he says Ginsburg since from Adad and the Kfulim usually you create from the Kfulim not a Vav but rather a yes a rather with the Yud and so be it as it may it means a message and I cannot go more into it because I have some more but I want to give you some other goodies. Isaiah 40:20. Sure, ma kana charar. To tie. Isaiah 40:20. Ma isan sham, Rabbi Shama, could you want to read, please? Good. Ma ze 40:20, nakhon? Nimshach listakel b'tekst, achakach ani... Let's look pasuk before, pasuk after. Kol agoyim ke'ayin negdo me'efes batohu nechshavu lo. Vel mit edamyun el umad demut arhu lo. Hapesel nasach harash ve'tzoref basahav yarak'enu utukot kesef tzoref. Hamesukan teruma aetz lo yarkav yifhar harash chacham yivakesh lo lachim pesel lo yimot. Here. That's Hamesukan. Has to do with Sakana?
No.
What do you think it could mean?
No.
This is the occasion of Musakinu.
One is for a meaning.
This is the occasion of Musakinu. Hapax legomenan musakono. What's parallel to it? Aetz lo yarkav. Pesel lo yimot. Aetz lo yarkav. Aetz lo yarkav is. Aetz lo yarkav is a modification of hamesukan. And Musukan is Musakinu in Akkadian, which is parallel to a kind of a tree. Parallel to Irinu, which means a cedar. Yeah. Yes. He's speaking over here about the creation of an idol. He says, Nasach harash, v'tzorev bazahav, yalakainu, tzuket kev tzorev. המסוכן תרומה, עץ לא ירכב. Good wood, absolutely. Because if I will show you, if you look at the CAD Musakino, for instance, I'm writing my lexicon, I'm going to give Musakino, and Irino, and Burashu, and all the trees, the best trees which were made to create an idol. It has to be truma from the word room. A lofty musakinu.
And the
Mepharshim go that way. בשביל זה אנחנו הפקס, לא? This is the course in הפקס, no? לא מפרשים, ודאי שלא. ודאי שלא. לא, למה שיהיה? מה זה מסוכן? מה מסוכן? יש לזו סכנה over here with עץ לא ירכב, with פסל, with חרד, וזה. המסוכן תרומה, which means you see the hay of a mesukan is a little difficult because he didn't understand already what happened. Is mesukan teruma, which means mesukan, which is lifted up, which is raised up. Which, you have to see when the Assyrian king speaking of cutting the wood. The always the musakinu is with the irinu and whatnot.
What is the symbol? Just like eight floor yukar, the parallel to the tamasukan is going to be truma. Equally truma,
all right, it's okay. It's fine with me, but I think, yeah, all right, it's no problem.
That'll be a perfect parallel.
It's a little bit better.
It's not a problem.
You can imagine it's meant a high one, so you're leaving a dangling phrase. Tamasukan truma, it's dangling. Eight floor yukar. You just put a synonym for it before you had a verb.
I have no problem with this. I think it's nice, even nicer.
No, why? If you can't do that comma, if you have comma, you will correct.
Right.
Yeah, but you don't put a synonym
before you have a verb.
No. No, this is with the kuf.
No, that's with the kuf.
Sakad is with the kuf.